9:05. Welcome back to the Chad Acey Show. News Talk 790 KFYO online at KFYO.com. Phone lines open to you, 770-5790, toll free, 1-800-687-0790. Joining me in studio, Representative Charles Perry, joining us again and to talk about his race for SD28, early voting right around the corner.
Monday.
Welcome back. How about that?
It is quick. It's been a fast trip around the district for sure.
Have you hit all 51 counties yet?
We're short, I think, about three or four, and we've got those lined up to hit next week and visit with some city and county officials and some town hall meetings. We've probably seen several hundred people over the last three trips out. 8,000 miles, two birds, one windshield. So it's been good, but it's been long days. We had 17 hours in the truck on Monday, hit 10 counties, 10 30-minute town halls. Probably that day we had probably over 150 people throughout the day show up. So it's been very encouraging to see the turnout.
Well, and I know that sometimes the top topics or the top issues on people's minds, they can change. You know, whatever the top news story is sometimes, those are the top issues. Right now, is it immigration and what's going on down the border?
Yeah, you know, water is obviously a concern on a substantive level at every place. But I got to say, the last 3 weeks, it just seems like it's ratcheted up even more on the immigration issue. People are literally at a bubbling point and see what we're not able to do as a state because of federal jurisdiction issues. And I think they're almost at a point of tossing the federal jurisdiction issues out so we can protect our state. It's really getting to a point of critical mass. And you hear these discussions and you have these questions and you can sense the sincerity and the concern and the you kind of come back with a real burden on how are we going to fix this. And it's bad. It's bad out there.
What is the long-term solution you think that the, if elected, that the Senate can take, you know, obviously working with the House, getting it to the governor? What action can y'all take if elected?
Well, there's several. One, we continue to fund the initiative to detain and turn over, and that's not a long-term solution, but jurisdictionally that's about what we're allowed to do today. But I think we need to step up the funding and the harassment of cartel members, gang-related members. You know, it's about the path of least resistance. Those are business guys. They want to do business where it's easiest. So let's make it as hard as possible to do business, and that costs money, and that puts, unfortunately, our law officials in harm's way, because, you know, right now we're kind of passive. We just detain, and we got to get past that. That is not a winning strategy for this country or this state, and this state cannot afford to continue to have the process that's going on right now. So I think we have to step up our investigative. We have to highlight and spot these guys if they're over here that are helping associations of those cartel members to come together. We got to go after them. We got to really become a thorn in their side to be in Texas.
It seems like maybe it was two legislative sessions ago, not the last one, previous one, though. Immigration was a big issue. Yeah. It was talked about quite a bit. Sanctuary cities was brought up. The Texas Dream Act, I think, was brought up. If not, it was brought up definitely during the last presidential campaign. Is that an issue, or those two issues you think that you'd like to bring up and see brought up again if elected in the Senate?
Yeah, and I've been consistent on that. I had the illegal tuition credit bill, to take that out. We have a component of a magnet. We have a welfare state with open borders, and we got to shut down those magnets, and I'm a leader on that. I had a bill out there, first session, right out of the box. That was one of my first bills, if not the first bill. We have to pursue and harass. We have to go after those other magnet programs that the federal government kind of has laid at our lap that we don't necessarily have to give out. We've got some issues with health care. We've got issues with education coming through in that regard. And so we're almost at a point of doing what we need to do as a state to protect our citizens and then fight the feds about it later. I mean, it's really kind of to that point.
Right.
Sanctuary cities, we don't acknowledge them. We put that legislation through the House. You just can't continue down this road of enticing, and then when they're here, gripe about them being here with enticement. Truly, though, that's the cartel activity that has ratcheted up the migration for safety and intimidation tactics employed down there. And so if you don't get rid of that, if you don't deal with that head on, you're going to consistently have this problem.
It seems like there were many lawmakers who were concerned, and more on the moderate side, definitely on the left, who were worried about us becoming Arizona, being sued by the federal government.
Right.
Is that something we need to be concerned about?
You know what? The state of Texas has to protect its citizens and its economic survival, and both of these are in jeopardy today. So I would be willing to do whatever we need to do as a state to protect our citizens and internally from a budget, economic, from a safety. You know, 700 of the bad guys that have crossed over have been caught, or 700 bad guys have been caught that have been identified with Al-Qaeda, terrorist, radical Islamist, jihadist. So we've just got 700. How many got through? These are not people coming to this country or this state to do good things for our country. So there is a security interest at the national and state level. And if the federal government is truly going to ignore that issue, as a state, we've got to do what we've got to do to protect our citizens, and then we'll sit back and we'll see what the federal government wants to do. Interesting enough, my concern is the federal government would probably take the other side of the fence because they think that Texas would have violated some sovereignty law there, I'm sure. But we don't have the luxury of time or sitting around waiting for the feds to do their job. They've proven time and time again they're not. So I'm not worried about suing the federal government or being sued by the federal government. As a state, if they're not going to protect our borders, we have to do it ourselves.
Visiting with Representative Charles Perry, running for SD 28 in the special election. Early voting begins on Monday, so right around the corner. You've had quite a few endorsements that have come out, big endorsements that have come out. Seems like maybe every other day someone else is endorsing you. What does that say about your record and about what those organizations think you'll bring to the Texas Senate?
Consistency. Proven. If I say it, I'll do it. They don't have to worry about me wavering. I got the Farm Bureau endorsement. It should be out today. That is huge. I think I have over a 90% rating with those guys, meaning that on their issues, I'm as solid as I can be. Their issues are all about property rights. So I've proven time and time again that I understand private property and what that means to our farmers, our ags, and just general people. You know, one thing that distinguishes us from other countries is we have the right to own something and build a legacy and wealth. I protect that at all cost. I got that endorsement the other night. All six candidates were allowed to speak, probably 70 people there from around the state on this Farm Bureau, and I was proud to get that one because it represents, I know, rural West Texas, and I understand property rights, so that should be out, announced today. NRA, you know, National Rifle Association, Texas Right to Life, the true Right to Life Association in the state. There are some imposters out there, but this is the group that gets it. Texas for Fiscal Responsibility, Texas for Lawsuit Reforms, all of those are class organizations that are consistent with their mission and their message, and they only endorse people that are consistently on their mission. You may not agree on every issue in those organizations, I have proven that I can go to bat for the issues that matter, smaller government, less taxes, most efficient spending that we can have, and sanctity of life, defend that at all cost. And then to have a Farm Bureau endorsement, that just reflects that I get rural West Texas Homeschool Coalition. Those people believe, although that we may not align on every issue of their issues, they like the fact that they can go to me, I'll give them a straight shot, not change my message, and be there when I get through. And they like the fact that I'm able to get things done.
Yeah. Visiting with Representative Charles Perry, we'll go ahead, we'll take the break. When we come back, we have more to get into, a lot of other topics to discuss here on the program. We'll be right back. Chad Hasty Show, News Talk 790 KFYM. Visiting with Representative Charles Perry, running for Senate District 28, early voting Monday. That's right, the election already here. And we were talking about endorsements, and there's been, a few emails going around from folks in the medical field. Is that correct?
Yeah. One of my opponents has garnered the endorsement from Texas Medical Association, and it's not surprising. Their association has been chasing conservative pro-life people around the state because, unfortunately, and I got a lot of good physician friends that are not members of that. I think the last number I heard, only about 30% of the physicians out there support TMA. I don't know exactly what the number is, but it's fairly low. It's not a majority for sure. But good doctor friends actually had several support me here a week ago in a meeting, but you know, the TMA endorsement going to my opponent, you know, what I think everybody needs to understand is they've done this across the state against conservative pro-life candidates. They are not a pro-life organization. On numerous occasions, in the first session where we were defunding Planned Parenthood, they fought that. On the euthanasia bill, they fought that. They're on record publicly from the national organization, AMA, which is a parent company of Texas Medical Association. There are statements out there by their chairman that they thought the sonogram was dangerous and shouldn't be done. So, and they just have a track record of being fairly anti-life or adverse to that. In the 303 bill, the euthanasia bill, I was actually probably a lead in killing that initiative. It boiled down to basically they wanted the final determination of the ability to give care to those that are in the life decision to be the doctors or the hospitals or both, not the patient or the patient's representative. And all I was asking for was an affirmation from the patient that, yes, I don't want treatment, I don't think the quality of life will be worth it, or a patient's representative.
Right.
And that wasn't something they were willing to do. I didn't have a problem with doctors' education reform, though. So that was the pro-life issue. And then just to sum it all up very clearly, they were very much strong advocates for Medicaid expansion and Obamacare. They've got resolutions on record with that organization. So I voted against Medicaid expansion. I don't think Obamacare is the answer for our national health care policy. And I'm pro-life, you know.
Yeah.
Beginning to end, I think it's that patient or that person's responsibility to have those control of those decisions, as well as, you know, I think good Lord's going to interject into those discussions and items. But any time history has given someone other than the patient the decision of what their treatment looks like on the end of life, that's usually not worked out too well. So, you know, I'm kind of sad that they've endorsed a guy that argues that he's pro-life and against Obamacare. The push cards that have been put out there is a hit piece against me. Nothing ever happens the last 10 days of campaign. Usually when you get into this area of a campaign and that rhetoric and that hit piece starts coming out, that usually means they have no message, which, you know, if you kind of look at the ads and stuff, I'm not sure if my opponent's Bush, George Bush, or that guy. I'm quite sure who I'm running against, but nothing against George. But just it's been a very strange campaign from that. But here we are 10 days out, and we're beginning to have hit pieces from associations that do not support values of I have professed to go and support. And my district reaffirms on a daily basis that
right.
They want pro-life conservative leadership. Obamacare, Medicaid expansion, and sanctity of life issues. Those are something, if an association wants to endorse me, but they've been anti those measures, then I'm not going to take that endorsement. Second thing, and you know, I'll give you one other example they weren't happy about. We had rural health care access, physicians in rural health care, they're not available. It's running out. Encounter rates and things where reimbursement makes it nearly impossible for a rural community to keep a doctor. First session, proud to have been a part of it, Garnet Coleman, Senator Duncan, we pushed through the opportunity for physicians to practice as corporate-owned employees in small communities with 50,000 or less. That was not an issue they were really fond of because it kind of breaks that doctrine. I get corporate and doctor working as an employee status, but in the rules it made sense. So there's just a history of things they don't like.
Right.
And I think it's unfortunate, and I do think they have a role. But politically, hit pieces on half-truths and innuendos not. And I'm not faulting any of the doctors that are on that those letters and the endorsements that will be coming out in the paper in regards to that. I think some of them may not know. And some may firmly believe that it is a decision they should have. We just have fundamental disagreement.
Let me ask you, we have a little bit of time left. Let's get into a couple of other issues. One of those being water rights. We've had an organization that's come on the show before, Protect you know, water rights, who say, hey, look, if the water's on our land, it's under our land, under our feet, it belongs to us. Who at the end of the day should that water belong to?
The state of Texas is clear it's property owners. It's rightfully so. I'm very clear distinction in this race regarding that. I understand the need to conserve and those rules that may be promulgated and move that agenda forward. But if you limit my ability as a property owner to use what I've paid for, then you have to find a compensation for that. So, you know, our ags industry in the state is under attack for BLM, Clean Water Act, CASPER regulations come out of the Fed on the energy, the Department of Interior, the lizard, the minnow, and the chicken. There's a constant, very aggressive from the federal administration, even on some state level, to take the property rights out. So I'm very clearly the one in this race that has very stated very much that if you're going to take that property or the use of that property away, there has to be a compensation given. And that's where we're going to go in the Supreme Court on the next session. I think some other clarity is coming out of the campaign. As it goes forward, you kind of find inconsistencies and things that are give people pause. And, you know, I think my 1 cent sales tax initiative was very clear in two races now. Unfortunately, I've heard flipping of that issue in this race on some of the levels. So that indicates somebody that's kind of struggling on what they stand on and stand for. So I just hope that people are paying attention. It's a short time. It's a fast race. And if anybody that knows me and has dealt with me down there or up in this area, they'll say I'm pretty consistent, that you may not agree with the final outcome or the decision I made, but you don't have to worry about it being different tomorrow.
What one of your opponents has brought up before, whether it be in on social media or on a radio interview or wherever, that you know sometimes you have to work with the other side, that you have to you know bring people together, form a coalition. Seems to be a smack towards you of being, you know, you're conservative. I don't think anyone can argue that. Are there times where you have to work with the other side, or you know, do you just say, hey, look, we're going to dig in, or does it come down to issue versus issue?
It's issue versus issue. If it's good public policy and it's good for the state of Texas and ultimately good for the country and the citizens in this area, you got to vote for it, regardless if it's a D or an R bill. If it makes good public policy sense, you got to do it. And I have a history. I worked with Sophronia Thompson, number two Democrat in the House, on a bill that basically gave employer liability protection if they hired felons. Because felons get out of jail, and guess what? They're on a perpetual cycle, non-redemptive, of having to get punished because they did their time, but now they can't get a job. So that was signed by the governor, and I'm number two guy on that bill. It was actually my bill, and I gave it to her because she'd flipped, she'd wanted it in the prior session. Elliot Neistat and I did some things on mental health in the previous session. He's probably as liberal as there is a guy in the House. So, you know, it just depends on issue. If it's smart and good public policy, then you'll find no disagreement. And I think most people, serving on the Transparency Committee, 4-4, co-chairman, Democrat, Republican, did a lot of great things, walked away with ultimate respect on everybody on that committee as well as for me. So you've earned your stripes. I've got the relationships, the chamber, both sides of the aisle, and I've shown the capacity to work on things that are important and build those coalitions. And most of the time in Texas, outside the social issues, we work on the big things and come together well.
As far as transportation goes, it's going to be a big issue in the next legislative session. What issues would you like to see get done if elected into the Senate?
Well, we're moving $1.5 billion over in November, assuming the voters do. But I think there's several levels of transportation that needs to be dealt with. We do have some transparency issues. We do have some money inside of transportation that's used for other than roads and bridges. We got to stop that. We need to make sure that the plan that haven't been shown, if we do this, is it going to solve our urban congestion problems? Because really this discussion has been driven by two things. One, some oil field destruction of the roads. We've got that. We're working on it. We gave $450 million out to the state for and county roads, $250 each or $225 each. So we kind of dealt with that, and we'll move on that issue. But on the urban congestion on I-35, nobody's been able to produce a plan that says we can add 50 lanes and fix that. So I want to have a clear plan, and then all – at the end of the day, I want to make sure the formulas, because as we give money back into that system, the formulas get tweaked. If you tweak those formulas, are you going to exclude rural West Texas? And I want to know the formula up front before the money's given, because sometimes politics get in when the money's given. They determine how much or how less they weren't going to get. They start messing in the formulas to keep us from getting our maintenance dollars. So I think we'll get there. I'm really kind of thinking transportation will be dealt with on a very good level next session.
All right. Representative Charles Perry, appreciate you coming in studio.
Thank you guys.
Today. ElectCharlesPerry.com is his website for more information. And, of course, you've got early voting that starts on Monday. Hopefully we'll be able to speak with the candidates again as voting continues throughout next week and the week after that. You've got election day on September 9th. Yeah, it's already here. Get out there and vote. We'll be right back.